Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So I bet if you ask any young child about their favourite author, they often will list off a whole selection of celebrity names or international writers. So when a literary character from Cork starts to feature on the shelves of bookshops and libraries and schools around the country, it's certainly something worth celebrating. And my next guest has created a young girl who is muscling her way onto reading lists all over the country. The character is called Millie McCarthy, and she was dreamed up by Cork author and teacher Leona Ford. And Leona is here. You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
Lovely to have you with us to talk about the latest instalment in the series, which I have in my hands, hot off the press today, Millie McCarthy and the Christmas Calamity.
Yeah.
And she came about because you were having a chat about characters and authors with one of your own children. You have four.
I do have four. So the oldest girl is called Asha. She's 14 now. But when she was about 11, it started off kind of like a slagging. She'd be using words like diaper or sidewalk or the grocery store. And I would say to her, Asha, in Cork, we go to get the messages. We don't go to the grocery store. And she said, well, all the books I'm reading are either American or British. And these are the words in them. And she said, there's no actual books that are about my life. And I thought she was right. Mm-hmm. These were all boy characters set abroad. And they were fantastic. But I thought, you know, she deserves to see her own life reflected back in her. When I was young, I was reading lots of Irish authors. I was reading Marisha Conlon McKenna's Under the Hawthorn Tree, and I loved Joan Lingard's Across the Barricades. And so I decided to start telling her orally stories about this girl called Millie McCarthy, who was from Cork. She was a bit of a rebel because she's red hair and she's from Cork. And she gets up to lots of kind of mischief, but always with a kind heart. She never tries.
She's
to cause trouble.
She's not bold, but no. She just is maybe forgetful. Is that, that kind?
And I say she kind of doesn't exercise her impulse control.
Yes.
So she acts before she thinks, but always funny.
And listen, in our house, we love Wimpy Kid and Dog Man and all of those books. But when we found Millie McCarthy, I was relieved because I thought, well, this is somebody who they can identify with. And also for the girls, as you mentioned there, it's a female character who is, you know, just as robust and boisterous and adventurous as the boys.
Yeah, and girls are.
Well, they are.
Yeah, totally. And they deserve to see someone like that. And I like that. People come up to me and say, oh, I love that the book was set in Foot Island, the first one, because we had been there ourselves. Mm-hmm. Or my kid does this in school and they saw it in the book as well. So I just think it's nice for them to see and experience things.
So how do you go from telling your daughter a story about Millie to her becoming a character in a book, in a series of books?
Yeah, well, as teachers, we're really lucky. We get to do lots of courses for CPD, Continual Professional Development. And one of them, when the new junior cycle came in, I got the opportunity to do some courses. And one of them I chose was with Patricia Ford, who's our current laureate in the NOG, and I did writing for children. It was a fantastic course. We were all on Zoom. We do little bits of writing, give each other feedback. And Patricia said to me, your writing's quite good. You should send it off to a publisher. And here in Ireland, you don't need an agent to submit work to a publisher. So I took a chance and sent it into Gill. And I got a phone call back. It was actually a picture book for younger children. And they liked it. And in a conversation, I was asked, are you writing anything else? And I said, yeah, I'm actually writing these stories for my child. And it's kind of middle grade. It's about this girl called Millie. She's from Cork. She gets into lots of trouble. And it's like Diary of a Wimpy Kid style. And they said, oh, that sounds interesting. So I sent in six chapters and I got a 3-book deal. So that's how it went from my head to paper.
That's a great story, isn't it? But you're still teaching. So
you have
your
teaching,
four children, very busy at home. You've got this successful series, but you're still working away as well.
Yeah, but I'm always asked as well, when will you give it up? But I don't think I will because I enjoy it too much. I love going into the kids. They're just, well, kids, they're teenagers, really. They're full of energy. They've lots of ideas. You know, they're kind of like, I like listening to their conversations, seeing what's happening. And I think they both work well because I'm always reading and writing in school and then I'm reading and writing at home. And you can't really write unless you read a lot.
So, and you find that inspiring, the interaction with the children that you teach.
I really like it.
So when do you get the time to write?
So I write at night time. I write currently on Mondays. I have Mondays off from school this year, which is really handy. And then when the kids go to bed at night time, and then in any of the stolen moments that Irish mammies get. So when you're dropping off your kids to swimming or jiu-jitsu or gymnastics, or what else do they do? Keyboard, all of these. I'm sitting in the car with my notebook out and my pen, or right on trains when I'm travelling as well.
Right, okay, but it just sounds like a very busy life, but you're determined to keep all the plates turning.
Yes, and it's fun. It doesn't feel like work when you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also made a very conscious decision to throw in the Cúpla Focail into the book.
I did.
Which I love because it reminds you of your own Irish and keeps you up to speed as well. But does that rule out an international audience?
I don't think so, because the way we work it is that if I write something in Irish, I'll put it either in the text, or Karen Hurt, who's the illustrator, she does the amazing illustrations, she will put in a picture that will show it. So like Mála Scola, she'll do a beautiful little drawing of a school bag and then she'll put the words above it. Mm-hmm. So that even if you don't speak Irish, you'll still understand what's happening. And then you'll get the Cúpla Focail as well. Well, my own children go to a Gael Scoil. And no matter how many times I brought the books back in Irish, the complaint would be, "Mom, these aren't the Irish we speak. This is Connemara Irish. We're Munster Irish." And they wouldn't like it. So I thought, what if I just use the phrases that people and parents will know from their own childhood, and then it'll become less of a task,
right?
Which it is doing.
And why was it important for you to include it in the first place?
I love our language. Mm-hmm. I was on the board of management of a Gael Scoil as well at the time, and I was back to learning Irish and going, you know, just a second there now, Gav Malashke, Las Berla led the hall, and then they would tell me it and I'd go, right, I'm going to learn this word now. And I think it's really important for us to have our culture and our language.
Yeah, well, it threads it through normal life when you
yes,
put it into a book like this as well, which when your child is trying to learn Irish in school, it's really important that it becomes organic
in
the way
that
you have it in the book.
It's very easy to use a couple of phrases, you know, with it. My five-year-old has just started Gael Scoil at the moment and she's going around calling people Sean Van Vocht, which is hysterical, I'm having to say. But she's learned it in terms of how to count to 10. And then one of the little phrases is a shocked, a hooked Sean Van Vocht.
Right, but and don't say that in the supermarket.
No. But she's learned and she's saying it everywhere and I've had to tell her, you know, this is what it means. But for her, she's just picked it up so naturally. But we would have always used phrases like, you know, Fanomaid or Cuigisteach. And for her, she knows them now. So it wasn't, you know, a task to learn.
Yes,
them.
Yes. So what happens next with Millie? How many have you done now? You've got this one, which is the Christmas
the
Calamity.
Fourth. I've just submitted the fifth one just about a week ago. So that will go to edits next and then Karen will illustrate it. And then on the train yesterday coming up, I started my brainstorm for my next one.
Right, gosh. And you mentioned Karen there, who is the illustrator, Karen Hart.
Yeah, so she's from Dublin herself.
What's the backstory? How did you start working with her?
So when Gil had taken up the book deal, or when I had accepted the book deal, we went to look for an illustrator and I was shown some portfolios and I absolutely loved Karen's work. It really stood out to me. They were black and white line drawings. She had done work for the Feminist Film Festival in Dublin. She'd done work for Period Poverty in Ireland. And I just loved the quirky nature of them and they were really fun. So Gil put us together. We actually didn't meet until the launch of the first book. But since then, we've gotten on like a house on fire. Do you know, it's kind of like it was a perfect pairing.
Yeah, she gets you and she gets Millie.
Yeah.
Which is great. When Jacqueline Wilson was in here, was it last week? Jacqueline was with us, also a children's
She's
author
amazing,
in the main. She told us all about the fan mail that she has always gotten over the years and how if she spots one, I mean, she would get such a volume that she probably can't reply to all of them. But when she spots one where she thinks, I need to reply to this because this child needs me to write back, that she will always take the time out to do that and keep in touch with people for years and years into their adulthood. Are you experiencing that?
I have gotten fan mail and it's funny. Because I suppose people know I'm a teacher, they've sent it to the school. And so I've had one of the secretaries, Mark, at the school will come up and be like, here, we've another envelope for you today, which is really nice. But I had one that young fan who wrote all the way from Donegal. And on the envelope, she had put in Leona Ford, teacher, Bandon. And it went to a local secondary school in Bandon where I don't work. But the principal recognised the name, knew that one of his kids was in primary school with one of my kids. So it was sent into the Gael Scoil and eventually got to me, which was lovely. But yeah, I always try and write back, especially if there's an address or if I get letters from schools, which I do. Some primary school teachers, I think it's in third class, they have to do letter writing. they'll get them to write to an otter, and I'll always write back to the class and try and put in a little piece for each child.
And what are they saying? What do they say to you about Millie?
So some of the things they say is, can you write a Millie McCarthy book set on a farm? These are the boys who really are interested in Finn and Fionn, the two characters. Or they'll say things like, can you put my name in the book? Or my dad is like Millie's dad because he tells really bad jokes. Or, you know, little things like this about their own life. They'll want to tell me about their dog or their cat. It's lovely.
Well, sure, maybe you get a bit of inspiration from all those letters as well.
One of the things I do at workshops is I ask the kids, right, if Millie could go anywhere else or if she could get up to anything else, what would you like to do? And then I go around and look at all the ideas.
That's one way to do it. And I mentioned the children's literature market. It is just littered with celebrity authors,
you know,
big names. And that can make it really difficult to break into, can't it?
Yeah, it can. But we're lucky. This year, I've become involved in an organisation called Discover Irish Kids Books. It was started by the Irish author Sarah Webb. She's a powerhouse of an author. And we had decided in the group, there's lots of us there, we were looking at the fact that sometimes when you asked a child to name an author, they couldn't name an Irish author or illustrator. So we've gotten together and we've done some work in trying to promote Irish authors or illustrators or those working in Ireland. So we've got these website, discoveririshkidsbook.ie, and we've got these fantastic posters that you can download for libraries or schools, and it tells you, if you like this author, these are the Irish authors and illustrators you might like.
And have you found a nice community in the Irish authors who you've met since you started publishing your work?
Hugely. My phone is beeping all morning with happy book birthday, we call it, on your publishing day. So many messages from Irish authors and illustrators that I've only gotten to know in the last 2 years. And the first year, Patricia Ford told me I should go to this conference. It was the CBI Children's Books Ireland conference. But there was also a teachers' conference across town. And I was like, which one should I go to?
On the same day.
On the same day. I chose to go to the authors. When I walked in there, knew no one, and went, right, I've made a mistake. But by the end of the day, I got introduced to so many people. And they're so welcoming, and everyone promotes everyone else and helps everyone else, that like I found my tribe. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And this book then, obviously it's a Christmas book.
It is.
The Christmas Calamity. I had to hide this at home. Last night. I had it and I was reading it at night, but I put it in under another book because I thought, I don't want them to see this yet, because we're just, you know, that bit away from Christmas. And I knew it would be taken. So I'm going to hide it now in work for a while.
Yeah. Well, I had a young fan give me a brilliant idea last week. I was up in Greystones at the Jumping Off the Book Comic Festival. And a kid came up and she says, well, I'm getting the book, but me and my mum have decided there's 25 chapters. So she's going to give it to me on the 1st of December. And I'm going to read one chapter a day, like an advent calendar book.
That is a great idea.
Isn't it a fantastic idea?
It's a great idea. And it's a really good time to do it as well, because it is all about coming up with a concert idea for Christmas in school and all the Christmas crafts and so on. Yeah. And the possibility of snow. Mm-hmm. We better not give away too much more.
It was actually a hat inspired the book. I was online shopping. I love hats. I was online shopping and I bought a gold lamé turban with a big sparkly jewel in the middle, because I thought it looked amazing on the model. And when it arrived and I tried it on, the kids started laughing hysterically.
Welcome to my world. Yeah,
I looked crazy. And they were saying things like, Mum, you look like a drama teacher. You look like a fortune teller. And I built this.
And hence the character.
Yeah, I built the character of Belinda Starstruck around this gold lamé hat.
Yeah, I love her. I love the way she sweeps it. And you can imagine if you were in your classroom and you're 9 or 10 and someone like Belinda comes in, you know, how unusual and exciting, like an exotic bird. And it's a great story.
Thank you
and
so much.
And your story is great as well, and the success that you've had, and long may it continue. Have you more? Have you other stories apart from Millie on the go?
Yeah, I'm always writing different things. So
watch this space.
Yeah.
Leona, great pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in. Millie McCarthy and the Christmas Calamity. And there are other Millie McCarthy stories as well. And all of them have been loved in our house. So we give you our recommendation. And so many other people have enjoyed them too. That's Leona Ford. We will take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.